trials, NFL training camp news, and the Yankees continue to be the bane of my existence. LaValley Sports Talk begins right now. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the LaValley Sports Talk Podcast, brought to you by the Silent Network. As always, I'm your host, Chris LaValley. Hope you all are doing well and staying safe. God, the New York Yankees suck. We suck. I mean, we're just... I have never hated a team more in my entire life. I have never been a fan of a baseball team and just counting down the days for the regular season to end. Truly, in any sport... In any year that I can remember, I have never just wished for the end of a season. And that's where I am with this New York Yankees team. It is the most unlikable team I can remember. From the top down, there's nothing positive that you can say about this organization right now. The front office is a dumpster fire. Our manager doesn't understand how to evaluate his own freaking pitching staff. And the players underperform constantly. There's no, it honestly seems like everyone's just going through the motions. You know, you have Aaron Boone giving bullshit press conferences saying, oh, you know, we've overcome stuff in the past. We're just going to have to keep working through this. No, you haven't. This team has never overcome anything because we've never won anything. So how the hell can you say that we've overcome anything? We've never overcome any type of obstacles because we haven't won anything. What the hell are you talking about? We're not winning games. When have we ever overcome something? We're constantly losing. We might as well call the Red Sox our daddy this season. They're destroying us. It's embarrassing. It is absolutely embarrassing. And the thing that pisses me off more than anything else is that I really do believe that our GM just doesn't care. Cashman doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care. He needs to go. And at the crux of all of this, and I haven't brought this up enough, is Hal. Hal Steinbrenner might be the worst owner in sports. We went from having the best owner in sports with his father to now having possibly one of the worst owners in sports. I can't say he's the worst because there's Dolan. But outside of Dolan for the Knicks, Hal's right there. And here's why. Because he doesn't inspire any type of leadership. You know, you can say what you want about George. Was George an asshole? Absolutely. Was he, could he, did he have some, you know, rough ways with how he handled certain situations? Yeah, he wasn't very artful in how he handled certain situations. But he demanded success and he demanded winning. His whole point was, you are on the New York Yankees. I'm paying you more than anybody else in baseball. I expect you to do your job. If you can't do your job, here's your end date. If you can't meet this end date and do your job by this time, I'm going to fire your ass. I'm going to put somebody in the position that can do it. That was it. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's how it was. You knew walking in to New York Yankee Stadium, when you signed a contract with them, you walk into that stadium, you knew what your expectations were. And they were to win. That's all Steinbrenner cared about was winning. That's what he wanted. That's what the fans wanted. That's what we all want. As sports fans, you want your team to win. You want your team to succeed. Does Hal want that? Because I don't think so. If Hal wanted that, Aaron Boone would be gone. He would have been gone by June this season. Cashman would have been gone years ago. And I come right back to Cashman again. There is no fire under his ass to do anything. I don't understand how he evaluates talent. I truly don't. Look, he had his time. Late 90s, early 2000s, he was putting together great teams, great rosters. And it worked. His thought process, the way that he was building a team, it worked during that era. We're way past that era of just building a giant lineup with a bunch of big home run hitters. That's not the way that you win in baseball anymore. There was an era when that worked. This is not it. And he's never adapted to that. And the fact that no one in Yankees ownership, or at least not publicly anyway, has said, hey, look, Cashman's on some thin ice here. He's got to make some moves. He's got to do something. And if he can't do it, then we may have to go in a different direction at GM. That would at least, even if it wasn't sincere, even if Steinbrenner wasn't being sincere and he was sitting back going, look, man, I'm not going to fire you, but I need to at least make a media play here. That would be okay. I would be okay with that because I honestly wouldn't know. I wouldn't know if he's being serious or not. But at least I would at least believe that he's paying attention to what the hell's going on. But again, Cashman, there is no pressure for Cashman to change the way that he evaluates talent. And it shows. You go out and you make a play at Clay Holmes. That's your big splash. You go to beef up our bullpen with a guy with a 4.93 ERA. How the hell is that going to help our bullpen? What value does he bring to the Yankees? I'll tell you, none. Nothing. He does nothing to improve our bullpen. He struggles in Pittsburgh. What, you think he all of a sudden he's going to get better when he gets to a bigger market in New York? You know, because, you know, that's usually how it works, right? You suck in a smaller market, then all of a sudden you go to a big market and you turn into a superstar. Because, you know, those stories are written all the time. And then there's rumors that the Yankees are going after Trevor Story. Why are you going after a lifetime 272 hitter? He's a decent shortstop. He's not great. He doesn't all of a sudden get inserted into the Yankees lineup and now we're true blue playoff contenders. Or even long term. He doesn't make us a winner. The guy's batting 240 this year. I know that with the Yankees lineup right now, batting 240 makes you a superstar and potentially puts you in the Yankees Ring of Honor. You go in Monument Park, not the Ring of Honor. Because, you know, 240 is super all-star right now with how the Yankees bat. But in a realistic sense, is Trevor Story somebody that I would personally want to see my team make a play at? Not really. Again, he's a decent player. He's a two-time all-star. Like, I'm aware. But he's not sensational by any means. And who are you giving up to get Trevor Story? I don't understand these moves. The Yankees need to sell right now. We don't need to go out and go get a Trevor Story. Honestly, sell the farm. Seriously, sell the farm. And make a play at somebody long-term, but somebody good long-term. If you're going to make a play, make it count. Pick superstars that we can build on, or at least star potential players that we can build on. Go out and go make a play for somebody like a Chris Bryant. We don't need Chris Bryant, and we're not going to get Chris Bryant, but you get my point. That's somebody that you can at least build your team around. And as much as it pains me to say this, and I don't like the fact that I'm going to agree with Austin Space here, but the smartest move would be for the Yankees to move on from Aaron Judge. I have come full circle on this, and it pisses me off that I'm actually putting this out there. Because we can't get rid of Stanton. If we could get rid of Stanton, I would say you get rid of Stanton, you keep Judge. With 100 times out of 100. But nobody wants Stanton. Why would you want Stanton? The guy's a bum. He's an absolute bum. But Aaron Judge is going to become Giancarlo Stanton. Not so much the bum factor, but the DH factor. Judge can't stay healthy now. In a few more years, he's not going to be able to play the outfield. He's going to be the DH. So then you're going to have two power-hitting DHs just chilling on your bench. You're going to have to alternate them. How's that going to work? There's no consistency there. Realistically speaking, you're probably going to play Judge and you're just going to bench Stanton and pay him an obscene amount of money to just ride the pine every single season or have him pinch hit from time to time. It's just this whole roster just needs to get blown up along with the front office. I've never been so disheartened as a Yankee fan. And these free agency rumors, they don't help things. There's nothing about what's being rumored around for the Yankees that should make any fan feel good. I go on Yankees Twitter and everybody is just throwing out all of these different ideas of, oh, you know, we can still make the playoffs. Who cares if we can still make the playoffs at this point? We're not going anywhere. Even if we made the wild card round, even if we would get blown out in that game by the Rays, we would get embarrassed. So then we make all of these plays, all of these moves for what? For the next 2 months? And then we're right back to square one. Because I see people all the time saying the Yankees should go make a play at Scherzer. Why? Seriously, why are we making a play at Max Scherzer? He's a rental. He's not going to stay in New York. He's already said, he's made it public that he wants to go to the West Coast. So he's not going to stay in New York. Even if he was successful in New York for the latter half of the season, he's not going to stay there. He's going to end up in San Francisco, in San Diego, or on the Dodgers. Maybe on the Angels. I doubt it. But you see my point. It doesn't make any sense. You need to be thinking long term. Yankees fans need to think long term. And I just don't know anymore with this team. I really don't. So that's it. I mean, that's my rant. I just, the Yankees suck. It drives me nuts. Until they fire, truly, I've said this before and I'll say it again, until they fire Brian Cashman, we're honestly in limbo here. And we're going to remain in limbo until something happens, some sort of shakeup happens in that front office and or in ownership. But until that time, unfortunately, we're just going to be a middle-of-the-road franchise in baseball. We'll have the lure of being the Yankees, but we're not going to have any of the wins or any of the championships, recent championships, to back it up. We're going to be an also-ran. And that's pathetic. It's just, as a Yankee fan and as somebody who expects my team to be at the top every single year, I'm having a really hard time with this. I really, truly am. And I don't know where we go from here. So in NFL Corner, we've got some quarterback news. Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers. We'll start with Deshaun Watson because I know everyone is really excited to hear me talk Aaron Rodgers for the umpteenth time on the segment. So Deshaun Watson reported to Texans training camp mainly to avoid a $50,000 fine. Frankly, he probably needs the money for all of his legal fees. And he made it clear to anyone that was willing to listen to him that he still wants to be traded, which, good for you, pal. Here's the deal. I don't know if he's going to get traded. I don't know if the Texans' asking price is going to have to change for someone to want it. I mean, the Texans want five high draft picks and or starting caliber players. Or I think it's and starting caliber players. My guess is they're probably going to get three top tier, so probably like two firsts and a second, and maybe, I don't know, a star wideout or a star running back or something like that in order to get Watson out the door. I don't think that any team is going to be stupid enough to give them like three firsts, 2 seconds, or two firsts, 3 seconds. You know, you get the idea. I just don't see that right now because you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know if Deshaun Watson's going to play this season. You don't know if he's going to play half of this season and then be suspended for however long it may be. Watson's future is still very much up in the air. And the fact that he's not on the commissioner's exempt list at this point, I actually find very surprising and a little disconcerting. I mean, the dude's got 20 sexual assault allegations or lawsuits against him. Like, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, you know, innocent until proven guilty. We always need to take a step back. But again, where there's this much smoke, there's got to be some fire there. So I wouldn't touch Watson with a 10-foot pole, even if I desperately needed a quarterback. You know, like if I was somebody like the Eagles or even the Chicago Bears, I guess the Bears wouldn't make a play at him anymore. But if I was a team out there that just desperately needed a quarterback, the Saints, you know, I wouldn't pull the trigger just because to me the asking price is way too high. My opinion. Then that brings me to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has made some, or I should say the Green Bay Packers made some concessions for Aaron Rodgers. There is a rumor out there now, and it's actually gaining traction, that part of the concessions that the Packers had to give to Rodgers was Rodgers wanted Randall Cobb back. He said, in order for me to come back, you need to bring back Randall Cobb. So that looks like that's in the works, where Cobb will be rejoining the Packers via trade, which is pretty interesting. You know, again, for all the people out there who don't like what Rodgers did, everyone's saying Rodgers doesn't have leverage. Well, clearly he does if the Packers are making concessions for Rodgers in order for Rodgers to come back. Rodgers also had to make concessions with the Packers. That's usually how it works. However, it seems like this is going to be we're going to play this season, and then after the season, you're gone. And so that's what we're looking at. We're looking at, which is pretty much what I've said from the get-go, is that Rodgers is going to end up coming back. He's going to play out this season, and then next season he will go elsewhere. Now, where he goes next season, speculation abounds. I personally think the best team for him to end up is Denver. I think most people would agree with that. However, me personally, I'd like to see him in Washington. I think him in the NFC East, bringing some relevance back to the Washington football team, would be just an awesome story. Plus, it keeps him in the NFC. He gets to beat up on the Packers every single year. I just think that would be a great place. The other one that I saw, and I actually found really interesting, was Cleveland. And that was the writer that I read it from, I believe, was it The Athletic? It might have been The Athletic. It's either The Athletic or it was Barstool. I know there's a big difference there as far as publications go, but I'm just not too sure which one it was, because I've been reading a lot of stuff on Rodgers. That he could end up in Cleveland if Baker Mayfield doesn't play well this season, which is a really interesting concept to think Rodgers going to the Browns with that defense, those running backs. That'd be pretty damn interesting too. So that's another possibility. I personally think, or I shouldn't say I think, I hope Baker Mayfield plays well enough where that's not even a possibility for him. But still, I mean, so those are three possibilities for him next season. But anyway, all that matters is that Rodgers is back with the Packers for this season, which is great. The Packers will make the playoffs, and then they'll take the ball out of his hand at the end of a game because, you know, heaven forbid we let the reigning MVP actually try and win a football game for their team. Simone Biles quit on her team. I know. How dare I say that, right? I know this is the unpopular opinion. @LaValleyCH on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you. But she did. She quit on herself, and she quit on Team USA. She's not a GOAT. Two things can be true at once. Biles is immensely talented. She is by far the greatest at her sport. No question about it. Physically, she is a marvel, an absolute marvel at what she does. But she mentally broke down under pressure. You don't get GOAT status by not competing. Now, those of you out there who are arguing that her mental health gives her a pass ignores how many other great athletes had to overcome their own mental hurdles to achieve greatness. Think about the pressure Jesse Owens was under. What type of mental stress do you think he was going through in the 1936 Berlin Olympics? You think he might have been a little stressed out? How about Michael Phelps? Michael Phelps, who has admitted of dealing with depression, dealing with anxiety. You don't think he had some mental hurdles that he was working through during all those Olympics, during all that competition? The guy was pulled over multiple times for drunk driving. He was obviously going through some mental crap. You don't think that he didn't have his own demons that he needed to try and fight? What about Michael Jordan? Just because it wasn't reported doesn't mean that Michael Jordan didn't have his own mental health issues. Part of the reasons we marvel at these athletes, at people like Phelps, Jesse Owens, Michael Jordan, and others, is because of everything they have and or had to overcome to achieve greatness. Again, I'm not saying that Biles isn't great, nor am I minimizing mental health concerns, and I can't emphasize that enough. I am not minimizing mental health concerns, but we need to put the GOAT conversation on ice. Like, you can't call yourself the GOAT, and she does call herself the GOAT plenty of times. You can't call yourself the GOAT and do what she did. Now, she may never have outwardly said, "I'm the GOAT," but when you have a crystal-encrusted GOAT emblem on your leotard, that kind of says it for you. When you're the only one that has that, when you have GOAT stuff all over your backpack and your outfits and things of that nature, when you're you're professing the fact that you're the GOAT without actually saying it, then clearly you believe it. But you don't get to claim that. That's not something that you personally get to claim. That's for the rest of us. That's unfortunately the part of being an athlete, is you can claim whatever you want to claim, but the rest of us are going to be the judge as to whether or not that's true. Now, there's many out there who want to claim that she's still the GOAT. Oh, well, she's still the greatest because look at how brave she is. What she did is not brave. I'm sorry, it's not brave. You're not brave for quitting on your team. You know, and if you want to argue, well, she was brave. She didn't quit on her team. She knew she didn't have it and she didn't want to see her team suffer. Maybe you didn't hear what she said to her team. It was on a hot mic. It's out there. You can hear the audio. She told her team, I have mine. I've won my golds. Now you go out there and you go get yours. So in other words, I've got mine. I'm good. I've got my golds. I've got my medals. You girls who have worked your asses off to get to where you are, good luck to you. Good luck to you. Hopefully you guys win gold too. But I just can't bring myself to try and compete with you because I just don't have it today. And in fact, I'll tell you exactly what she said. Post all of this stuff. She said, and I quote, "Today has been really stressful. We had a workout this morning. It went okay, but during the 5.5 hour wait, I was shaking. I could barely nap. I had never felt like that going into competition before. I tried to go out here and have fun. The warm-up in the back went a little bit better, but once I came out here, I was like, no mentals, not here. So I just need to let the girls do it and focus on myself," end quote. Focus on myself. That actually exemplifies the way society works now, is we're in such a narcissistic society that all we care about is ourselves. We don't care about other people. We don't care about how our actions may affect others. What Simone Biles just said is exactly how the majority of athletes act. It used to be a privilege to be on Team USA. It used to be a privilege to represent this country. You work your ass off to get to this point, to not only represent your country, but represent your hometown, represent your family, and represent yourself. It used to be a privilege to do that. Now, it's not looked at as a privilege anymore. It's almost looked at as, well, I'm really talented and I'm really great, so A, you should all bow down to me and think that I'm great. And B, well, you know, I'm here for me. I'm not here for anybody else. I'm here for me. And that's fine if you're competing in an individual event, whether you're a gymnast or a swimmer, whatever it may be, whatever an individual sport may be. When you're just competing, just you and your competition, it's just one-on-one. Mano a mano, that's fine. You should be there for yourself. But when you're competing in a team event, you're not just there for yourself, you're there for your teammates. That's why it's called a team event. Why are we giving her a pass? That's what I want to know. Truly, I want to know why she gets a pass. Scottie Pippen doesn't get a pass. Scottie Pippen sat out on his teammates in a playoff game. He's still getting dragged for that now, and that was over 20 years ago. Actually, it might be almost 30 years now. It was a long time ago, and that still gets brought up. Imagine if LeBron James sat down. Pick a team. Pick a team that he was on. Miami Heat, Cleveland, the Lakers, any one of them. If he ever sat down in the NBA Finals during a game and just said, you know what, guys, I just don't have it. Sorry, I don't got the mentals today. Physically, I'm great. You know, physically, I'm still the most dominant basketball player in the world, but I just don't got it today. He would be destroyed publicly. Destroyed, by and large. Of course, he'll have his defenders. But by and large, he would never come back from that. Ever. He could win 10 championships. It wouldn't matter. It would not matter. No one would ever let him live that down. She's getting a pass because we now celebrate weakness. We do. We celebrate weakness in the society. And I can't emphasize enough how discouraging it is that this is considered okay. She quit on her team. Like, I can't say that enough. Look, it's already been reported that she's supposedly not competing in the individual events either. Okay, that's fine. I mean, because if she had competed in the individual events, that would have said that that would have been an even worse look for her. But here's the deal. I mean, here's the real thing. Where did accountability go? Where is it? Why don't we hold other people accountable anymore? Why isn't Simone Biles accountable for her actions? Why are we just giving her a pass? We really have bred this selfish, narcissistic culture. And it's disgusting. It really is. And it's not just Simone. Like, she's not the only one. Naomi Osaka is another one. All right, she's not, and she doesn't play a team sport. She's an individual sport. But Naomi Osaka, who couldn't handle questions from the press, really it was just she couldn't handle questions that she didn't like from the press, because she had no problem creating a documentary with LeBron James. She had no problem being on the cover of Sports Illustrated. She had no problem sitting down with the press that are giving her puffball pieces, or sitting in front of a camera when she gets to tell, quote unquote, her truth. She's fine with the media then, but she's not fine with the media when they're actually going to press her and ask her questions about, hey, why didn't you play well? Why didn't you perform well in these circumstances? But that's celebrated now. That's considered the new virtue, the new brave. That's not brave. It's not brave to say, hey, look, I don't want to do these certain things because of my mental whatever it may be. And again, I'm not minimizing mental weakness, mental health. But we have celebrated mental weakness. We've gone full circle. We went from, again, mental health is a negative stigma. If you have some sort of mental health problems or concerns, you're looked at in a negative fashion. To now, well, mental health can be an explanation for why you perform poorly or why you don't want to perform at all. And that's considered okay. That's okay. Well, you have a pass now because you're a victim of this, whatever you want to call it. If you want to call it a disease, if you want to call it a defect, whatever it is, a struggle, whatever. But because you're dealing with it and because you're a pampered athlete and somebody that the media likes, you get a pass. You just get a pass. I don't understand the people out there that are continuously trying to defend her. I just don't. I don't understand your reasoning for it. You can still look up to her. You can still consider her a hero. You can consider her a great Olympian because she is all of those things, I'm sure, to you. To me, she's still a great Olympian. You can't take away the 6 medals that she's won. There's no taking those away. You're never going to take away all the world championships she's won either. Again, she is the most talented gymnast ever. Ever. But she's not the GOAT. She's not on that Mount Rushmore. You cannot be on that Mount Rushmore of GOAT athletes and quit on your team. And not only that, quit on your country. You know, you want to gloss over that. A lot of people want to gloss over it. Like, oh, well, you know, there's just so much pressure. She put that pressure on herself. Look, being an athlete comes with responsibilities. You want to make millions and millions of dollars, and Simone Biles has done that. She has a net worth of $10 million. She's made a lot of money. A lot of money off of her talent, as she should. But if you want to make those millions of dollars and you want that fame and fortune, it comes with some pressure. It comes with the expectation that you're going to perform at the highest level in the biggest moments. And if you can't, then you don't deserve the accolades that come with victory, that come with you actually persevering through those mental hurdles, persevering through all of those difficulties. That's why we celebrate Michael Jordan. That's why we celebrate Tom Brady. That's why we celebrate Jesse Owens and Michael Phelps and Muhammad Ali. That's why we celebrate those athletes, because we marvel at what they've accomplished, knowing that it can't be easy, knowing that they've sacrificed a lot to get to where they are. Yes, are they compensated for it? Absolutely. Are they living very glamorous lifestyles? Yes. But they've also entertained us. They've also selflessly sacrificed their time. Sacrificed their time with their families, with their friends, in order to be at the highest peak of their powers. It all comes full circle. And what we see with this new era of athletes is they want all the fame, they want all the fortune, but they don't want to have to work through anything. They want it all. They expect it. It's an expectation. Again, when she says in her quote, "I knew that the girls needed to go handle their business, I needed to take care of me," that perfectly illustrates the selfish, narcissistic athlete that we see all the time now. Simone Biles is great. Maybe the greatest we've ever seen. But she's not the GOAT. All right, so to close out this podcast, let's talk some Space Jam and New Legacy. So I watched the movie. I went into it. I tried to sit down and watch this movie as objectively as possible. Y'all know how I feel about LeBron. Y'all know I can't stand him. But I sat down and I said, all right, look, I need to watch this movie. I need to at least see it so I can say that I saw it and I can compare it to the normal Space Jam. There is a giant chasm between Michael Jordan and LeBron James after this movie. Like, when you watch this movie afterwards, if you still don't think that Michael Jordan is head and shoulders above LeBron James in just every aspect of life, I don't know what to tell you. The first hour of that movie, the movie's almost 2 hours, the first hour of A New Legacy is just straight garbage. It is hot garbage. It is an infomercial for LeBron and Warner Brothers. That's all it is. It talks about, it literally is just LeBron, LeBron James sitting there talking about how great he is. It literally is what it is. He is called King James, I don't know how many times. It's just a giant love fest for LeBron. And then the second half of the movie, they actually get to the basketball, and that was a little bit more fun. And by a little, I mean barely, but at least it was watchable at that point. Like, I fell asleep twice during the first hour of the movie. It was just that, it was that dreadful. Second half of the movie, they play the basketball. It makes it a little bit more interesting. But overall, that movie was trash. I mean, I'd give that movie out of 5 stars, I'd give it a 1. And I actually think I'm being kind by giving it a 1. I mean, it's just awful. It is an awful movie. It makes absolutely no sense. Like, there's no coherent storyline. That might be the worst acting, by the way, I've ever seen from a professional athlete. Like, he makes Shaq and Shazam look like an Oscar winner. Like, LeBron James' acting is that bad. Don Cheadle's acting might have been even worse. I saw a lot of people celebrating Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle, that is the worst movie I've ever seen Don Cheadle, not only in, obviously, but perform in. Like, his acting was terrible. Absolutely terrible. I don't understand the hype around Don Cheadle to begin with. I find him to be extremely overrated. But his performance in this movie was just god-awful. They introduced a few basketball players. Like, they had Klay Thompson, Diana Taurasi, and I'm forgetting the other two that were in there. They were cool. Like, it was cool that they had some Damian Lillard and Agumuke. I can't pronounce her name very, very well, but she's WNBA star. And there was a cool concept that they had with them. I would have liked to see more of them in the movie than what we got, but it was interesting. But overall, the movie just sucked. It just wasn't good. I'd tell you to go out and watch it just for the fact of, so you can realize how great the original Space Jam is. but I really wouldn't want you to waste your time. It's just not good. It's really not good. Look, if it's on, you want to check it out, but I wouldn't go out of my way for it, truly. The other thing too, real quick, is the animation was pretty bad. When you watch that movie, go back and watch the original Space Jam, just for the animation aspect of it. I gotta say, the animation in the original Space Jam, I think, is much, much better. But overall, Space Jam: A New Legacy, just a trash movie. It was just awful. God awful. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the LaValle Sports Talk Podcast, brought to you by the Sideline Network. As always, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I greatly appreciate it. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. While you're there, we got plenty of others for you, including Drinks with Dan, Richo's Rant, Richo and Lala, and Spaceball. And that is it. That's all I have for you this week. I hope you all be well and stay safe. Talk to you all again next week.